T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And on the Western Hotline now, Bruce Nolan joins me. By the way, Bruce, I think what you're going to have to do is likely just take out a 15 to 20 minute, you know, time on your Saturday afternoons, because last week when I, you know, released my schedule of guests, I was met with mostly, "Oh, great lineup. Where's Bruce?" So I think the people have spoken, and they either want you to take my job or they want you here once a week. I don't make the rules, Bruce. I just listen.
I think really more so than anything, they just really appreciate my takes on coffee, Nate. And that's really what they want to really hear about on their Saturdays.
So what's your take, Bruce?
My take is that coffee is terrible.
Yeah, no, we know. We knew that was your take.
And y'all have been brainwashed into listening in. And so you like it. You like it. Even you can have your black bitter bean water, and I will settle for something else. Thank you.
That's what I just took a beautiful sip of myself. Yeah, no, you know, at the end of the day, Bruce, coffee's not for anyone. It's for closers. And it's fine that you're not a closer and I'm a closer. It's just the way she goes, bud. You know, I was putting together kind of my pre-show list of, like, things that I got to make sure I hit on today. One of the things that I was really most interested in hearing you narrate for me is a very simple, straightforward question. And it really has to do with the offensive side of the ball. And it should let you talk for roughly 25 minutes so I can leave. I'm just going to answer the or, you know, say the question and then walk out of the room for 15, 20, because you should have enough to excuse me. I was choking on some delicious coffee. Oh, God. And what I wanted to ask you, Bruce, is through 4 games, the Bills are 4-0. The offense is number 2 in the league in most passing categories. Josh Allen is an MVP. I don't know if I want to say front runner, but he's certainly at the very top of the conversation next to Russell Wilson, which who in God's name would have felt comfortable on August 10th saying that we could say Russell Wilson's name in the same sentence as Josh Allen and not get laughed off the radio? So there's a lot going right. My question to you, Bruce, is what is, in your opinion, going the most right? Like, what is the driving factor of this success? And maybe that's Brian Daboll. Maybe that's Josh Allen. Maybe there's a mix of there. Maybe it's scheme-driven. But I'm really interested in sort of hearing your 30,000-foot view of what your take is on what is going right.
I would say that from last year to this year, the offensive staff, Brian Daboll, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott obviously has input, they have figured out the things that Josh Allen does well. They have asked him to do those things more often, and Josh Allen has gotten better at doing the things well that he was already doing to begin with. In addition, with that raising the ceiling of the passing game, they also raised the floor of the passing game. They instrumented a screen game, which we didn't see basically at all in 2019. So the floor got raised by making sure we have some gimmies, getting some yak yardage in there, and the ceiling got raised by making sure that we were doing more of the things that Josh Allen does well, and Josh Allen got better at doing the things he already did well. Last year, we were 22nd in the league in play-action dropbacks, even though when using play-action, Josh Allen's completion percentage was 8 points higher. His yards per attempt was 3.6 yards higher. His quarterback rating was a staggering 32.9 points higher when using play-action. But we weren't using it enough. If you look at the week 1 against the Jets in 2019 and the week one against the Jets in 2020, it's a wonderful measuring stick. Same defensive coordinator, similar defensive personnel, division foe, completely different offensive game plan. Because we've figured out the things that Josh Allen does well. Josh Allen has always, in addition, had a high amount of time to throw. That's part of what you get when you get a big-armed quarterback who likes to throw the ball to the intermediate part of the field, and he likes to make the first guy miss in the pocket, scramble and make plays out of phase in the second phase of the offensive play. So if you're going to have a high time to throw, we might as well give you play action to not only widen the depth at that second level for targets, but in addition to that, help your mechanics. Because when you have a taller quarterback, like Josh Allen is, there is a certain amount of, let's use the word margin for error, when it comes to mechanics. When you have longer legs and longer arms, you will hear taller quarterbacks talk about how having play action allows them to get their feet underneath them better, specifically from under center, but just as much from the shotgun, where you're taking a drop and you're getting your feet underneath your shoulders and you're getting in the correct stance. One of the things that was all jacked about Josh Allen's mechanics in college was he had way too wide of a base and he shot high. And when you have a quarterback who's able to get their feet underneath them and get into rhythm, they throw more accurately. I saw this with E.J. Manuel all the time when he was the quarterback. When you asked E.J. Manuel to take a shotgun snap and just rock and throw, like Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray kind of thing, then his mechanics were all jacked up. His accuracy was all off. And that's one of the things you get with a taller quarterback. You see these smaller quarterbacks coming into the league now, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. There's not as much margin for error in their mechanics because their arms are shorter and their legs are shorter. So all of the things that Josh Allen does well are benefited from using more play action. And in addition to that, raising the ceiling, him getting better at doing those things, we also said, hey, let's use a screen game. Let's give him some gimmies. Let's not have his average distance of target always be number one in the league because he throws zero screen passes. Well, let's help him out there. Those two things, from an offensive design standpoint, in addition to Josh Allen just getting better at those things, is what has caused this massive jump in production for the passing game.
You know, Bruce, one of the things that sticks out to me when I think about some of the things going right and when I watch the All-22, this is one thing that really sticks out to me, and it's super cliche. But you hear a lot about the progression of a quarterback in the steps that they take throughout their career. And one of the things that you typically find of quarterbacks who have taken that step from either mediocrity or below average to at least average or above average, the term that you hear the most is the game has slowed down for them. And sometimes I think it's hard to, like, you can't go and take a clip of a play and say, here's an example of the game slowing down for a player. And I would tend to agree with that. It's hard to find examples of that happening in real time. Like, hey, look, obviously things are slowing down. That's how he's able to make this read. I think every play that I watch of Josh Allen, it's apparent to me that he understands what he's seeing from a defensive standpoint. Like, he understands what the defense is trying to do, how they're trying to beat him. So when you know that and you have knowledge of how someone is trying to defend or beat you, you have the extra time to counter that, to figure out what counters, what you know. In that game last week, there were that Cole Beasley touchdowns, I think a really good example of the defense is running cover three. And I know Eric Turner and I talked about, you know, Cole Beasley in the offseason went to Brian Daboll and they sort of inserted, that's a June Jones slot seam route that you, as a perfect cover three beater, because especially when you go spread five and you've got a one high safety, you would want to attack the hash marks against that defender. And I think what they did really well in that play is it looked like the play had slowed down. The, you know, Cole Beasley slowing down his route and slow running it. You've got Josh Allen who starts left but knows exactly where he's going with the route. The same thing with the Gabe Davis touchdown, Bruce, is I go back to that play, and Josh Allen gets the ball at a shotgun, or he's under center, he takes his drop, and he's looking left, and as he's turning his head right, he's already throwing the football. So he knows that the play is open. He knows where he's going with the football before he makes the throw. And I think for me, those are just prime examples of watching a game become slower. Watch it become a little easier for him to execute. I think we're watching that happen in real time, and I think it's unique because I can't remember a lot of other examples of that happening for quarterbacks.
This is why people want to have a quarterback on the whiteboard when they introduce them in the draft and they talk to them about concepts. It's because, really, how many quarterbacks do you know who ended up being elite of elite who weren't good processors? Anybody? Ever? Bueller? That's what you get when you get an intelligent quarterback. You get a ceiling associated with that. Everyone talks about Josh Allen's ceiling, and they talk about him being raw and being boom or bust. And we have a tendency to kind of misconstrue that as being purely physical traits. Well, he's got a big arm and he's athletic. And so we took those two things together and we say, oh, look, he's got a big ceiling. But that's not what ceiling means. Ceiling is simply a collection of your available traits. Certain people have them and certain people don't. And so size is a trait. Arm strength is a trait. Intelligence is a trait.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And that June Jones concept, the go concept that Cole Beasley was running, we saw it in the Dallas game last year where there's a little bit of an option route there against different coverages for Cole Beasley. And Cole Beasley's like, listen, man, I know these coverages. And Josh Allen, thankfully, knows these coverages as well. So really, that's an intelligence thing. And if you give an intelligent quarterback time on task in the same offense multiple years over, this is what you get. Some quarterbacks just never get that processing up. They never get the, you know, I just can't figure it out in time. Maybe I can figure it out. If I'm watching film back on Monday, I can look at it and go, well, you know, I feel like I have a good grasp of what's going on here. I know what this defense was doing to attack me. I'll get it next week. But next week comes and they don't get it because it's like making processing while someone's breathing down your neck. It's a little bit different. That's a different level of processing that occurs in the film room on Monday and Tuesday that occurs on the field in the pocket with 300-pound men trying to kill you. It's different levels of intelligence, and Josh Allen did not get enough credit in the pre-draft process for being intelligent. And when you have intelligence and you put them in the same offense multiple years over with answers built in, Brian Daboll builds in answers for his quarterback so that if it's zone, you go here. If it's man, you go here. And Brian Daboll's offense is not a gimmicky, hey, it's all controlled by me sort of offense. That's not what this is. It's equivalent of throwing a quarterback in the deep end and saying, hey, you'll learn. But the benefit is if you learn to swim, you're going to be a good swimmer. You might not ever learn if they put you in the shallow end. And that's what Josh Allen's done.
Yeah, I think it's a really good analogy to use in that instance because I thought that for sure, and especially going back to Allen's rookie year, Bruce, you know, that is a really good example of, listen, if your quarterback is going to be successful, he's going to have to learn how to fail first. And I think that's an overused methodology, like sending a guy out to fail, but sometimes you learn the most about a guy who can fail early in his career. Can I be honest about something with Sam Darnold, Bruce, is I think all of these young quarterbacks had a small sample size of failure. And what we've seen in a large sample size of failure for Sam Darnold is he is not handling it well. And although, you know, the situation in Buffalo is vastly different, as Josh Allen failed his first year and they incrementally created outs and sort of they incrementally created a better surrounding for Josh Allen. That hasn't happened for Sam Darnold. So I do want to use that caveat. But I do think failure in a lot of cases can help a young quarterback as long as it's done so in a way in an organization that can support it. And obviously in New York it can't be supported, but here in Buffalo it can be. I wonder, you know, kind of going back to that rookie season, a lot of his failure is likely the reason for his success now.
I would agree with that. Failure is just a data point. That's all it is. It's just one instance of data point. The question isn't, did you fail? Everyone's going to fail. The question is, why did you fail? How did you fail? And are you capable of processing the why and the how enough to make accommodations to fail less in the future? Because there's going to be data points of failure this year. But the question is, it comes with probability. How likely are you to fail on any given snap? How likely are you to fail in any given game? It's not about, well, he failed. Okay, that's just one data point. And Josh Allen had games like that. But because of his intelligence, because of Brian Daboll, because of Sean McDermott, because of the culture, they were able to say, okay, here's why it's not going the way we want it to go. And Josh Allen was able to say, okay, I understand why this isn't working. I'm going to be better. He talked about, after the Patriots game, vowing to his coaches that he would be better. Not saying, you need to vow to me that you're going to help me out. That's the difference. It's the ownership of your failures, because everyone has failures. But as you mentioned, responding to it helps project future failures. The data point that you failed, that doesn't mean anything in a vacuum. It's just one thing that happened. The question is, are you going to fail in the future? And that comes back to the character of the quarterback, the character of the organization, the character of the offensive coordinator, and all these things have lined up perfectly for Josh Allen to have success after past failures.
Bruce Nolan here of the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network joining me on the Wester Hotline. So, Bruce, you know, one of the areas I was most interested in talking to you about is the Sean McDermott element of this. You kind of brushed on it, you know, like he does have, I mean, he's got his fingers on this offense. As much as you want to say he's a defensive-style coach, he's not an offensive coordinator. Agreed. But there is a level of comfortability that Sean McDermott has to have with your offensive coordinator in order to let him see and watch this offense evolve to where it is right now. And I guess for me, Bruce, I'm most surprised that this is an offense that they've agreed the five wide, four and five wide receivers, we're spreading them out, we're going to throw the football 45 times, we're going to score points to beat you. That mentality isn't something that a head coach like Sean McDermott, I'm sure, did without having like a hard swallow. You know, like part of his whole mantra is, we're going to slow the game down, we're going to run the football, we're going to play good defense, and we're going to force you into situations where you're going to throw the ball a lot. And that, like, that's really where this Bills team and defense have thrived since Sean McDermott has gotten here. And I guess for you, I'm just wondering, how much do you have to look at yourself in the mirror, and how much do you have to be comfortable with what you do as a head coach to completely change the way you believe games are won in the NFL and do something that I didn't think a lot of us Bills fans would have thought Sean McDermott was able to do, which is just turn into a 2020, like 21st century passing offense?
Sean McDermott talks a lot about growth mindset, and we talk a lot about that as a fan base. One of the things that isn't really talked about as being part of that, but should be, is growth mindset does not coexist with ego. When you believe that the way you are currently doing something is the ideal and best way to do it, and it is never in doubt, and you should never look at changing it, that level of ego that we've seen from past regimes, no, not going to point out any particular names right now, but that belief so strongly in that what I'm doing is the best and ideal way to do it, and we will approach it no other way, is the thing that keeps Sean McDermott moving forward. He talks about analytics usage, and you see that reflected not just in his fourth down aggressiveness, which has changed significantly since he came on board in 2017, not just in the pass-run ratio, which is 61.1% passing. We're a 60-40 team now as the Buffalo Bills. When did we ever think that was going to happen? These things
never
show analytics usage. Yeah, ever,
right.
Ever. I never thought it would happen. Now we're tops of the league in play action usage. We're tops of the league in pre-snap motion. These are things that analytics has persistently told us help to be an offense that's going to be more successful. And when you have a coach who says, listen, I feel good about this, I feel strong about this, but if there's data out there that tells me that we should be doing something different, I'm not arrogant enough to think that my way is the only way. And that's what Sean McDermott comes from. And Brian Daboll has that. Brian Daboll has a very open relationship with his players where Cole Beasley can come to him and say, hey, what about this?
Yeah.
The reason that Bills players like Brian Daboll and Bills players like Sean McDermott isn't just because they're winning. It's also because they feel like they're a part of it, and there isn't any ego in that room. There is no, this is the right thing. And if you would just do things the way that I told you to do them, we'd be fine. We may have a division rival who has a coach who's a little bit like that. But that's not part of Sean McDermott's DNA. And so even if he comes in the door as a defensive-minded coach who thinks you should run the ball, he's open to data telling him otherwise. He's open now to going for it at the 50 on 4th-and-1.
Right.
He has evolved. Mind you, I might even say he's progressive as a coach. And typically we put progressive and offensive-minded together. And that Sean McDermott is showing that doesn't have to be the case. You can be progressive and be just like Sean McDermott.
All right, Bruce, great conversation. The only thing that could really derail this whole thing is what your ultimate take is on the mayo mustard thing. And I'm really interested to hear where you fall in this whole thing.
I am an equal opportunity lover of mayo and mustard. I like all condiments. I will say bright yellow mustard, just bright yellow mustard, not really my thing. I like honey mustards, brown mustards, spicy mustards. Those are the kind of things, depending on the type of sandwich or type of hot dog I'm eating, I'm good with. I'm completely fine with mayonnaise as well. I don't like an abundance of it by any means. But to be honest, I don't really like an abundance of condiments anyway. Mm. They're supposed to be complementary flavors. You know, you put mayonnaise on something. You put mustard on something. So I'm a whole let people like things kind of guy. My one thing is I'm just not a big yellow mustard guy. I actually make my deviled eggs. I prefer them with spicy mustard or with honey mustard. And then I put a little cayenne pepper on them. That's the way to do it.
I'm a big deviled eggs guy myself. And yes, I would tell you that spicy mustard, whether it's our local brands up here, honey mustard is also very... See, what you did, Bruce, is you were very political. You're like a politician there. Is you basically said nothing, but you said everything. So I appreciate your candidness. But more importantly, Bruce, thanks for the takes on the football. That's what you're here for. And I think more importantly, it's an exciting time to be talking about offense. And I know for me and I know for you and a lot of us that have been, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Eric Turner about this the other day. You know, the first 4 weeks of this season, the first quarter of the 2020 season has been more fun to break down, to watch, to rewatch, to look at. I don't mind rewatching a broadcast view, then the all 22 view back to back to back. This year and in years past, when we were watching Nathan Peterman and we were watching, you know, Tyrod Taylor against the New Orleans Saints, like just the things that we've gone through over the last several years, or even dating back more so than a decade, it is nice to watch where this offense is and where it's going compared to where it's been.
It really is. You know, watching this offense back and watching them have success, especially watching them without any significant frustrations. The thing that the Sabres fans are going through right now is that they feel like there's answers out there and we're just not utilizing it. And for a long time, the Bills thought, gosh, why are we always a decade behind everyone else? Why is every other successful organization league doing these things? And for some reason, the organizational arrogance thinks that we should be doing different things. And that's not the case in this Bills organization. They're doing things. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott are doing things that just make us nod and go, yeah, of course, that makes sense. Why would we fight the trends? Why would we think that somehow we're a statistical outlier and we don't need to be a pass-heavy team? We don't need to go for it on fourth down. We think we know better. And that's no longer the case anymore. And so when that happens, you just sit and you nod. And even if the result isn't what you wanted it to be, you think to yourself, no, that was still the right call. We still should have gone for two there. We still should have gone for it on fourth down. That was the right move. And that's the result of the Bills organization catching up and being on the forefront instead of lagging behind.
Yeah, I was very sick and tired, Bruce, of explaining to people, well, the Bills, they're zigging while everyone's zagging, you know, and try to make up excuses for why they just can't get with the program. So again, it's nice to be talking about a team that sort of is figuring out ways to be in front of these curves and not way behind them. Bruce, appreciate you, brother. Tell the folks where they can find you if for whatever reason they don't know.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Bruce Exclusive. I am a member of the Buffalo Rumblings community. You can find our work on buffalorumblings.com. I am a podcaster for Buffalo Rumblings. You can find my show, The Bruce Exclusive, every Thursday and Fridays on the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome, brother. Appreciate you as always. Enjoy your weekend and your Sunday without Bills football. We'll be paying attention and waiting for your response to hopefully a Bills W on Tuesday. Appreciate it, brother.
I appreciate you, man.
Awesome. Bruce Nolan there of the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.